Having heard your word read so well, Father, as we reflect on it and consider it now, that your spirit might be at work to challenge and equip and build up and comfort, but Father, above all, to point us to the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, the great shepherd of his sheep. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be here this evening. Thank you very much for inviting me, Chris, eventually, apparently. My name is Dave Clancy. I'm the vicar of Trinity South Christchurch, and it is a privilege to be amongst you. As Jay said, it is a joy and a sorrow to be here, but mainly a joy, because there's always excitement and celebration when a minister starts at a church, isn't there? It's a time that's full of hope and expectation, and all that uncertainty and nervousness of advertising and searching and the nomination process. It's over, and there's this fresh start that's before you as a church. But that joy and excitement is different tonight. It's greater tonight because one of Rangiora's is coming home. It's a great return. It's not a prodigal return. It's not even a return of a Jedi. No robes, you see. Not many of you know this about Chris. Well, you do now. But Chris is the hometown boy made good. He has representative honours to his name. You represented North Canterbury in cricket, wasn't it, Chris? Under 16 indoor cricket. Indoor cricket. I present the parade's tomorrow, is it? Is that? I hope so. The joy and excitement is truly greater than normal because we've not gathered this evening to simply induct the new minister of St. Peter's of the Rock. We're here to induct its first minister, its prime minister, if you will. It's wonderful, isn't it? There is incredible courage and hard work shown by the people of St. Peter's of the Rock over the past 18 months or so. You've stood for the gospel. You've made some tough choices. It's cost you in all sorts of ways. And you have gathered yourselves together as this church. It's such a delight to see you affiliated, become, as Jay said, the first affiliated branch church in our new diocese. We are so delighted that you are part of the CCA family, and it is an incredible joy to be able to be here as you receive your first minister. And so as we start this time of Chris's ministry here, I thought we'd reflect a little bit on those words that we heard from 1 Peter, his letter. I thought it would be a good place to turn, in part because the name of this church, St. Peter's of the Rock, is named after the author of this letter. But mainly it's a good place to turn because this letter is written to Christians scattered in churches throughout the known world of the first century. Now, this is not a letter to some big city down the road, not some political centre. No, this is to God's people scattered out in the provinces, the up-and-coming places, right? The heartland of the Roman Empire, where the real work happens. It's a letter written to God's people to stand fast in the true grace of God. If you've got your Bibles open, please do, you'll see 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Peter gives this as his reason for writing. This is the true grace of God. I want you to stand fast in it, he says. Because while it feels like a new start here for St. Peter's, what is actually happening here is part of a much larger work of the Lord all over the world, all throughout time, a work of God which is marked at its beginning and at its end with the appearing of Jesus, a Jesus who appeared, was revealed in his birth and life and death and resurrection 2,000 years ago, and who will appear again at the end of time and gather to himself all his people, all who have heard and responded in repentance and faith to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. And between those two appearances, the first one in his birth and death and resurrection, and the one where he will return finally, God's people are called to stand firm in his grace, to trust in his saving work, to live for Christ as he would have them in the world that he has placed them, to share his love in the gospel for those who don't yet know him. They are to wait for his return. See, that future is what we are looking forward to. It's a time of glory. Three times, you notice, in our little passage, Peter talks about glory that is coming. And in light of that glory, because of that future, Peter here in our 11 verses speaks to three groups about what life before glory is to look like, how his people are to live standing firm in the grace of God. Three groups that he speaks to. We're going to look and see what he says to elders, to others, and then to everyone. To the elders, he says, shepherd the Lord's sheep. Shepherd the Lord's sheep. The word for elder here means more than simply somebody who is old. It's the word presbyter. And we're here this evening because we're inducting Chris as the presbyter, the elder, in charge. Peter's words here are to those who, in the words of Article 23 of the 39 Articles, are those who are lawfully called and sent to execute the public preaching and ministering of the sacraments in the congregation, in the church. Chris, this is for you. This is to all clergy, all presbyters. Peter's appeal here, notice it's an appeal, not a command, an appeal, is as a fellow elder. But he appeals as a failed elder. See, he says he's a witness of Christ's sufferings. Do you see that there in verse 1? Peter has seen Jesus' life. In fact, he suffered with him in various ways. But as soon as the Apostle Peter speaks about Christ's sufferings, we can't help but think of the cross. And as soon as we think of the cross and Peter, we can't help but think of Peter's failure, his big words, and his running away, his promise that he would even die with Jesus, and then his denial of him three times. See, this is the appeal of someone who knows his own weakness and his own failure. And yet this one knows his future. He knows that he will share in the glory to be revealed because he knows his Savior. And so this fellow and failed elder appeals. He does command here in verse 2, shepherd the Lord's sheep. And again, if we know anything of Peter, we hear him say those words and we can hear the echoes of the conversation that he and the Lord Jesus had that early morning on the shore of Lake Galilee, where Peter, this failed elder, is restored by his risen Lord, and he's given this charge, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. That is the job of the Christian leader, to care for and feed God's people, to shepherd the Lord's sheep. Chris, that is your charge today. That is the responsibility that you are taking, to shepherd the Lord's sheep here in this church. Notice that. They're not Peter's sheep. They're not the sheep of the presbyters scattered throughout the Roman provinces. They're not free-range, wild, and independent sheep doing what they want. No, no, and they're certainly not your sheep, Chris. They are God's sheep, his flock, under the care of the leader he appoints. But these sheep belong to the Lord. They belong to him because they have been sought and bought by Jesus. As we heard, he has gone, the good shepherd, and spoken that his sheep would hear his voice and come to him, that he would lay down his life for those sheep, that they might be purchased. But the shepherd image goes back further than just Peter's reinstatement. It goes back to Jesus' words in John 10. And it goes back even further than that, as we heard in Ezekiel 34, where the leaders of God's people are described as bad shepherds who use the sheep, who care not for the sheep but for themselves, who treat the sheep as a means to an end, the end being their own preferment and pleasure. And in the face of that, God promises, did you hear it in Ezekiel 34, that he will care for his sheep, that he will be their shepherd, which points us to Jesus, who then carries on his ministry through Peter. And so as Peter appeals as a fellow elder, as a failed elder, as a forgiven elder, Chris, clergy here, we are to be shepherds of God's flock that is under our care. You are to feed them with the faithful proclamation of the word of God, the voice of their good shepherd. You are to care for them through the pastoral application of God's word. And God gives us three ways in which we are to shepherd. Did you see them there in verses 2 and 3 and 4? Three little this way, not that way statements. Shepherd willingly, not begrudgingly, not because you must. You don't have to do this. That was phrased wrong. You don't have to do that. No, there's lots of ways you can take that. You do have to do this. And it's a great privilege that you get to do this. to care for and shepherd those bought with the blood of Jesus himself. There will be times, Chris, and aspects of this ministry which you find harder than others. There may even be sheep within this ministry who you find harder to care for than others. But it doesn't matter. You are to shepherd willingly. Secondly, you are to shepherd for their good, not for your own. Our Anglican system of stipends and allowances, while convoluted, is wonderful because it protects us in many ways from achieving dishonest gain. But you and I, brother, need to guard our hearts that we do not pursue it, because that is the charge here. Do not pursue it. Our ministry is not about ourselves, about what we can get from it, about the power or the platform or the influence or the adoration or anything like that. Christian ministry is first and foremost about service. First and last, the beginning and the end of ministry is serving the people God has entrusted to you here. And you, do you notice? You're to be eager to serve, keen, enthusiastic, motivated. What should drive you and us and every elder is not what we can get from the sheep, but what we can give. Shepherd willingly, shepherd for their good. Lastly, thirdly, shepherd visibly. Our desire and our service, our ministry needs to be seen, and we need to set an example. At your ordination, Chris, as at mine, you were charged with these words, to so live the gospel that you challenge us with the demands of love. You remember saying that? And the people of St. Peter's of the Rock need to be able to look at your life and see a life of willing and eager service so that they might know how to respond to the gospel of God's grace. You are to serve as you have been served. It's a big ask, isn't it? You might be looking at those words in verse 2, because you are willing, and you're thinking, ooh, am I? Yeah, you are. You have been willing. For nearly 7 years, you've proved and demonstrated at Trinity that this is the kind of presbyter that you are. Many of your brothers and sisters from Trinity have come here tonight because they have experienced this. St. Peter's of the Rock people, be encouraged for the folk that have come out from Christchurch. We're not here to make up numbers. We're here because we love this guy, because he does this job. We have benefited from it. We are the sheep whom the Lord has fed through your hand. And I have every confidence that you will carry on the pattern of ministry that you have learned and you have exercised. But I have greater confidence, because you and I and a clergy here are only ever under shepherds. Notice that? It is that great shepherd, the good shepherd, who loves and cares for all his sheep. And as you look to him and trust in him, as you admit, like Peter, that you are a failed and forgiven elder, indeed that you are first and foremost a sheep loved and led by the Lord, then through you the Lord will do this work of caring and feeding and building up his sheep. So shepherd the Lord's sheep, brother. But you notice, friends, Peter speaks not only to the elders, to the presbyters, he speaks to others as well. Verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. You see, if elders are to shepherd the Lord's sheep, then the others, the youngers, are to submit to the Lord's shepherd. And the context of this short and simple command means that Peter isn't only speaking to those who are physically younger than their elders, their presbyters. Now, it seems to be a comparative term. Elders and others, youngers, those who aren't elders. Church, we are to submit to those placed over us. Mark Twain reportedly once said, it's not the parts of the Bible which I can't understand which trouble me. It's the parts I can. For many of us, we hear the language of submission and our hackles go up. We don't like it. It can bring to mind ideas of domination and power and coercion, and yet submission is the right response of a Christian. Indeed, it's our first response, isn't it? But what is a Christian but somebody who submits to the Lordship of Jesus? And throughout this letter, Peter has been teaching and applying that Christians are to be those who submit, first and foremost to their Lord, to the state, in their families, in their workplaces. And here we are to submit to the elders, the presbyters that the Lord has placed over us in our churches. Now, St. Peter's, I don't think that means you never challenge Chris. I know it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you don't hold him accountable to the Bible. It doesn't mean that around the vestry table his ideas are never disagreed with. And it certainly doesn't mean that he ever lords it over you. No, he is your servant.
And notice he's commanded to not lord it over you. But as he faithfully preaches and applies the Bible, as he humbly and gently pastors you and leads you and challenges you, you are to submit to him. As he calls on you to live lives worthy of the calling you have received, as he sets before you that which is of first importance from the Scriptures, as he urges you to keep the main thing, and not to be distracted from the core teaching of the gospel, you are to submit yourselves to him as he is a faithful presbyter over you. And what a delight that will be as he shepherds you, like verses 2 and 3. As he watches over you and prays for you and loves you and cares for you and feeds you and sets you an example and is eager and willing to serve you, which I know he will be. So elders are to shepherd the Lord's sheep. Others are to submit to the Lord's shepherd. And thirdly, lastly, briefly, we are all to humble ourselves under the Lord's hand. Notice Peter speaks to elders. They get four verses. Others, they get half a verse. And then from the second half of verse 5, he speaks to all of us, to the whole church, to everyone. All of you, he says. And his command to his people is that we should be humble. There's an internal humility in the church family. You notice it, a humility towards each other, clothing ourselves, putting on humility. The whole church, shepherds and sheep, young and old, the new convert, the faithful saint, all of us are called to extend humility towards each other. See, if Chris sets you an example in this, you are to follow his lead. As you submit to your elder, he serves you. Humility is for all God's people. It is the humble elder who serves the Lord's sheep, the humble other who submits to the Lord's shepherd. Friends, it is only the gospel of the Lord Jesus which can equip you for this call on your life here. It is only the gospel which can show us our sin and our rebellion and our powerlessness and our standing of condemnation before a holy God. It is only the gospel which shows us what we're really like. And it is the gospel which presents to us the Lord Jesus. Jesus who demonstrates his love for us, that while we were sinners and rebels against him, he laid down his life for us. It is through the gospel of the death and resurrection of our Lord that God forgives us our sins and declares us righteous and adopts us as sons and daughters and pours out to us grace upon grace upon grace. The gospel declares to us that we've got nothing. God gives us everything. And therefore it is the gospel and the gospel alone which can drive away pride and banish despair and leave in their place humble faith in Jesus alone. And so those who have received the gospel, we are to humble ourselves before the Lord. We are to cast our anxieties and our worries, our fears and our uncertainties upon him because he cares for us. We are to humble ourselves before our Lord as the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour, someone to rip away from faith in the Lord Jesus. We are to humble ourselves before our Lord as we endure hardship and persecution and opposition and suffering, just like all God's people go through. Chris, St. Peter's of the Rock, will you humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that the people of Rangiora and North Canterbury might see the gospel, that they might hear from you and see in you God's grace and love and welcome, which banishes pride and speaks to despair? Will you humble yourselves now before things go wonderfully well here and you are tempted to pride? Will you humble yourselves now before things get hard and you're tempted to despair? Will you humble yourselves and set us in the diocese an example of what humble dependence on God, on the good shepherd, looks like? The one who is at work in you, the one who is at work through the under shepherd he appoints this evening. Will you do that? For us, for yourselves, for Chris, as you wait for the Good Shepherd to return and take you and all of us and all his people to dwell with him in glory, I pray that you will, that to him might be the power forever and ever. Amen.